Good morning and welcome to our Palm Sunday service, starting exactly where we usually start it, in the front drive of the vicarage before our rather short procession to the church. Most of you will know me. If you don't, my name is Simon Taylor and I'm the parish priest here at St Andrew's. So a warm welcome to you too. I hope you've been able to download the service sheet. It's a single sheet of A4 today. I hope that's simpler than last week. If you haven't been able to download it, why not pause the service, find the spot to download it on the website, the online services page, and then join in again once you're ready. Our service started with the Palm Gospel, that account of Jesus entering Jerusalem, read by Rosie Taylor, and then a Bach prelude played by John Bryden on his harpsichord. A lovely piece full of musical hosannas and an excited crowd. The main focus of our service this morning is going to be a full reading of the Gospel account of the last few days of that first Holy Week, the days leading up to Jesus's crucifixion. It's a great launching pad for us as we go into Holy Week to hear that account again. That account speaks for itself very largely, but as we start our service, I'm going to focus just briefly, because I don't want to make the service too long, just briefly on that account of Jesus going into Jerusalem. What is going on there? Why has that account been handed down to us, and why might it matter for our lives today? When we think about that account, we often speak about the crowds and how this cheering crowd was soon going to turn on Jesus, and how very like that crowd we can be in all our fickleness. And all of that is true. Wickedness can live just below the surface of any human life, ordinary, decent human lives. Indeed, we know it does, and it just waits to come out in our decisions and actions. But let's put that to one side just for a moment and focus on Jesus. All of the Gospel accounts seem to make it clear that as Jesus came into Jerusalem, he knew he was going to be betrayed and killed. He'd said so repeatedly, and the Gospel writers tell us that. So as we look at Jesus coming into Jerusalem with all those cheering crowds, we're looking at a man who is not only destined to die, but who is willingly going to his death. Which means, I guess, that all those hosannas, all those "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord's," take on a very different sound in Jesus's ears. He knows what is coming, and what this wildly enthusiastic, cheering, palm-waving, cloak-strewing crowd will shortly do. And yet there's no angry denunciation, no, "Yeah, right, you're cheering now, but let's see what you do on Friday." To get what is going on here, I think we need to keep all of that in mind, that dissonance in mind. Jesus is going willingly to die in front of a cheering crowd who will soon turn on him. Actually, he's going for the cheering crowd who will soon turn on him. It's their hypocrisy and fickleness, their willingness to cheer one day and to be active agents of injustice another, that makes his journey to death so necessary. It's still necessary. There were benefits won by that death for each of us. They were needed then, and they're still needed today. Each of us can say one thing and do another so very easily. All of us are prone to that. You could certainly pick examples of it from my life, and I know that we could pick examples from any of the lives we see, including our own. Sometimes we do this thing, we say one thing and do another in great numbers. How, I wonder, would you have felt if you were an immigrant NHS worker shortly to be forced out of the UK as you were cheered by the nation standing on its doorsteps? Cognitive dissonance? I think so. But we shouldn't just nod in recognition at the wickedness of others. For this day, this journey Jesus made, was for each and every one of us in our own way. Think of lonely neighbours ignored by us until now. Think of our planet degraded. Think of the services on which the poorest in our society rely, being starved of funds over so many years. In our own ways, we all take part in the wrongdoing of our society and in our own personal wrongdoing as well. So we all still need to repent, all of us. And we still need Jesus going willingly to die for our sins. That's what he was doing. For without him, we remain stuck in our sins, unable to move forward, unable to have that wonderful relationship of God with God that many of you know so well. So, in a moment, listen as the king continues his humble journey, which he starts here, not as a conqueror in a chariot or on a fine steed, but he enters his capital on the back of a donkey, a bringer of peace, a humble man, a servant. Listen and know that what he did back then, he did for us today, for me, for you, for our neighbours, friends and family, for those you know and those you don't, for those you love and for those you dislike. All are welcome to the Jesus party, all welcome at any time to turn to him and say, this time with real conviction, Hosanna to the King of Kings. So, as we come to our reading, let's start by praying. I have my palm cross. You might have last year's still. If you do, you could pause the reading and grab it as we start to pray. Let's pray. God, our Saviour, whose Son Jesus Christ entered Jerusalem as Messiah to suffer and to die, let these palms be for us signs of his victory, and grant that we who bear them in his name may ever hail him as our King and follow him in the way that leads to eternal life, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.